broadcasting from Hollywood, California. It's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
CBS is turned upside down by Les Moonves. The Playboy Club opens in New York with a motley crew in attendance. Shara Weiss calls in to help me analyze the two new Real Housewives of Orange County. And what's can't miss and definitely miss this fall on TV. That and more with Kara Stillen right here. Let the ranting begin. I am joined by Kara Stillen, a podcast producer and a reality TV viewer like many of us. Welcome to the rants.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's do it. You know, the show is called Hollywood Talk, and I usually always cover what I mean to cover, and I don't let anything slip by me. But, you know, since we recorded last week's episode, the industry here has been turned upside down by all of this Les Moonves talk and the New Yorker article that came out. And, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't discuss it on this show. So I definitely have to bring it up. I think it's a huge story. I'm surprised it's not getting more play. Perhaps for me, it's such a big story because I work in television. So to me, this is like, you know, the most powerful man in network television is taken down by, you know, an article and his own actions, but allegedly, but it's a huge story. How are you tracking this?
Well, I have just seen it like on Facebook and on, you know, everyone's just talking about it. And a lot of the groups I'm a part of, especially like I'm a part of a lot of TV and reality show based groups and a lot of people that really love Big Brother. So I have seen, that his wife, she's the, like the host of Big Brother. And I know that like last week she closed using like her full name. So like using his last name, is that correct?
That is. So, the first time she's ever done that. Yeah. Usually she's
that's
just
pretty
Lee
crazy.
Chen. Yeah. It's messy. So, I don't know what she must be thinking. I know I looked at a lot of comments. They've talked about this on a lot of different shows. So I'll go down and look at the YouTube comments underneath. And a friend actually brought it to my attention. And he said, you know, you really should look at the comments. Like, everybody's just hating on Julie. And apparently Julie, I don't watch the talk, but apparently Julie was very tough on other women when their husbands were like in this position. And now she's viewed as being a hypocrite by men, as from many, because she's standing by him when she thinks that other women should have left their men when they did this type of stuff in the past. So she, I thought there would be more sympathy for her, but it doesn't seem to be the case.
Yeah. And if that's the case, if she was acting like that towards other women about their husbands, I mean, you can't really treat someone that way if you've never been in that situation yourself. And so it's really hard. Of course, now it's happening to her. And I'm sure she's like, man, I really wish that I would not have treated people the way that I treated them before. Because you never really know how you're going to react until that's happening to you. And I mean, that really sucks that she's going through that. That makes me feel bad for her because it's her, you know, her actions shouldn't, it shouldn't matter like what her husband does. The people should just treat her as a host and respect her for her own work. That's what I think, but.
Well, they do have to respect her position, whether they agree with it or not. I mean, she has a son, I believe, who's 8 years old, and, you know, a lot of, and I'm sure she would say, all these allegations have happened. Now they're graphic and they're not good, but she would say that they happened before her. A lot of these, everything in this article is basically talking about allegations that happened between the 80s and the very early 2000s. But there's what's really ugly here is the retaliation that apparently Les inflicted on these people who came forward and did try to speak out. There was I read the whole article on the New Yorker, and I'm really captivated by the whole thing. And so I read the whole thing, the whole from beginning to end, and it talked about in depth how these people really kind of fell, like, you know, like a makeup artist was at the top of her game. And then at the end, now there's no shade in soaps, but at the end, she just kind of worked in soaps on the network, but she didn't climb up the ranks, and other people who were temporary assistants. And, you know, it's really sad and messed up because they all were held back in their careers because of this, which they didn't ask for.
Yeah, it is terrible. And I hope that I assume from all the detail that this is true. And I hope that he is, you know, taken down because of it and not allowed to work with people ever again. If, you know, if all of this is exactly true. So
yeah, like CBS, they gave $20 million, I believe, to the Me Too movement, but they're continuing to give him an office to serve as a consultant for a few years. I think it's two. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I mean, I'd be mortified in myself and so embarrassed to have to come in as a consultant. What a disgraced career, you know, to go from the very top to come in and still have an office. I wouldn't even want to be seen. I think I would remove myself from the map. But I would, again, I would never put myself in the position that man put himself in. So I really can't relate to him either way.
He definitely deserves, he should just leave. Like the consultant thing, that's just a cop out. That's stupid.
Yeah, get rid of him. As far as this Julie Chen goes, there's been a lot of talk about, oh, well, is she going to lose her jobs? You know, she's got that position, as you mentioned, on Big Brother as the host, which has been going on for many years, almost 20. And then, And then on the other side, 20 years exactly. And then she's also on The Talk, which The Talk is long rumored to be a very favored show at CBS. I mean, no big surprise there. It's his wife, it's her show, she's the lead host, like it makes a lot of sense. But even Sharon Osbourne mentioned it on the show, like, you know, when these changes happen, everything changes. You know, what do you think? Do you look at The Talk? Do you think that they're, you know, in danger of any type of cancellation or massive changes?
They could be, you know, since Julie is like the main host, and you know, it could, maybe there will be like some sort of shakeup and bring someone else in that is less controversial to the group. That could help, or they could just do away with the show altogether. So it really just depends. I don't see a reason why it would be canceled, because I think it is a popular show and I always hear about people watching it, but
I think it does pretty well. I don't know if it's like, you know, it's not like two people are watching and they're keeping it on the air just because of her. So yeah. I think that it has, like, I think to your point, you're right. As far as Julie being fired and let go from all these positions, she has to have one of the strongest contracts in television, period. I mean, she's at the top of the TV food chain just by association with her husband. But not only that, she's hosting two shows on network TV. She has to have the best agents and managers and contracts in town. So I'm sure that she's protected, and it would take a lot for them to have to completely fire her and remove her. So it's interesting. She doesn't have that safety net that she once had. You know, she really has to deliver. She has to deliver. Yeah. She can't outprice herself. She has to make sure the numbers are there. I mean, she doesn't have a safety net, but I think in the short term, she's fine, but she's going to have to really prove herself. People are going to view her as Les's wife, and that's going to be a hard image to shake off.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I definitely think, like I said, they'll need to do something to shake that show up, like bring kind of a bigger name in or something like that if they can't get rid of her. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, let's take a turn to a completely different thing here. A guest rant of this week. We're talking about the Real Housewives of OC. I'm giving my thoughts and views on the two new housewives, Gina and Emily. That and more. Let's listen. I'm here with Shara Weiss, and I have been looking at Real Housewives of OC over the last 8 weeks. There are two new additions, and I'm trying to figure out how I feel about the two new ladies. And I asked Shara to come on and discuss it with me, and coincidentally enough, on sharasgotthescoop.com, she has an article where she's questioning, actually she's letting us know that she believes that Emily and Gina are good cast additions. So hopefully she can convince me or let me know, because I don't know what I'm thinking about these two. Shara, welcome to the rants.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be back. Yeah. Yes. So this is obviously an article that met with some polarizing reactions. Okay. So here's the thing. When Shannon Bedore and Kelly Dodd started out on Real Housewives of Orange County, they kind of received the same type of skepticism from the audience that these two new additions you know, are now receiving. People really, I don't know if you're, I mean, it seems so long ago, but people really did not know what to make of Shannon Medora at first. And Kelly Dodd, I just remember her getting a lot. I mean, she still probably gets a lot of flack, but but she's beloved, you know, amidst all that flack, people really, really, you know, are crazy about her. So I think that these women are kind of getting the same reaction, but right off the bat, they're bringing us some drama. Gina is pretty reactive. Emily, unwittingly, her marriage and the behavior of her husband is already like something that people are talking about. We're not having a season where Peggy Sulayan is saying, I'm not talking about that. You know, like we're not.
Well, thank
it's
God
not
for
that.
That.
Exactly. It's not that kind of season where we're pulling teeth. And, you know, I just remember last year at this time thinking, oh, can Peggy just address some of these rumors? Can she clear this up? Can we see some drama out of her? And just thinking Lydia was annoying as hell. And these women, I kind of like them.
Yeah, I mean, compared to the last two, it's tough when some of these housewives, some can be real duds. And like you mentioned, like Peggy really like upset me and Lydia like made me angry. So I guess I'm okay with them. I just can't seem to figure them out if I'm like for them or against them. Like you said, like Peggy, and I was thinking about this, like Peggy, I kind of like gave her 10 weeks. We're on the 8th week of OC. And I said, you know what? Nope, I'm not into this. I really gave her a solid 10-week shot, which is a lot. And now with these women, I can't seem to figure them out, specifically this newbie Gina. She confuses me. First of all, she has that face. I feel like I know her from something, and I don't know what. She just looks so familiar to me. And I've never lived in Long Island. I don't think our paths have ever crossed. I lived in OC when I went to school, but I left there in 2011. So I can't imagine ever really meeting her. So I don't know how I know her, but that drives me crazy. But also,
that's so funny. Yeah, I feel like I know her too, but I grew up in New York, so she reminds me of the girls I went to high school with.
Right.
And I think that's why I like her, because I have, for me, I'm like, wow, there's an East Coast transplant here. There's a you know, a New Yorker. And I know the way she speaks is like a total New Yorker. And just those nails, you know, how they're over the top, those long acrylic nails and the too much makeup. She really reminds me of like a Long Island girl in the days of like Amy Fisher. I mean, this is really going back, you know, a long time ago, but she's so Long Island that it's funny. And it's this juxtaposition a little bit with these ladies who we know as, you know, strictly OC ladies. And I think she's funny and a little obnoxious and gets to the point right away and doesn't, you know, really doesn't beat around the bush. And so I think that's why I like her. And Emily, there's something to Emily also that I just like the fact that she's a lawyer and a party planner. It's kind of bizarre. How does she do
it? Great for housewives. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. So it's perfect for housewives.
I like the fact that she has a relatable figure. She's not too skinny, not too like perfect looking. I just think she's a pretty girl and she's not too perfect looking. And I feel like that's just much more relatable for like the real, you know, like myself, like real housewives that are not real housewives.
Yeah.
You know,
we haven't had anyone like her on OC specifically in a long time. And it's just like you said, like an everyday girl kind of, you know, she's not there to like Heather Dubrow to show off the wealth. She's not there to be loud and obnoxious like Tamara, who I actually like. But, you know, she doesn't like fit that bill of all the others, unlike Peggy, who fit no bill. So at least she stands for something. I like her. She's unique. I don't really mind her. It's Gina that I'm caught up on.
I was talking to Aliza Rosen, who has the podcast Reality of Reality, and she hated these two editions at the beginning, but today she conceded to me, you know what, I think I'm coming around a little because they're at least keeping things interesting.
Wow.
And I think by Gina, you know, getting into it with the ladies over lunch, you know, the whole thing about Emily's husband asking her to leave the party or kicking her out of the party,
which
whatever
I'm so upset we never saw that. Like, that's the thing. Like, then maybe that's why I'm having a hard time here, because it was all done off camera. So I'm just like, I feel like I'm playing catch up every week.
So that's the whole thing. Everybody's going, you know, going on about how he's a horrible person, but we didn't see that on camera. And, you know, there's this guy in one of these Facebook groups who was talking to me, and I told him I'm going to mention him. Steven Sugar, shout out to you. He was saying that I was way too easy on Shane in my article about Emily and Shane, where I talked about, you know, I basically focused on how would your husband fare on a reality show like this? Because Emily is a bit taken aback with the reaction that her husband is getting and how people just like can't stand her husband like from the get go and haven't really given him a chance. And so the thing is, we never really saw that incident where he asked Gina to leave. We didn't see if he was obnoxious or if he was controlling at all. And we can only go based on, you know, on speculation and rumors.
Right. Yeah. What we're told, we're not seeing anything.
There's a report that he was abusive to his first wife. And I don't know if, you know, I really don't know what's true and what's not true, because the sources are murky and the stories are not, you know, I'm just not sure what the real deal is with him. I'm confused by him, but I like her. I feel like I want to see, there's something about her that's very endearing. She seems sweet. And yeah. I want to see more of her story arc without him.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of already tainted her season a little bit. I don't know. I don't know what to believe. Again, we haven't seen anything happen. We've just only heard it. And his like actions at that red party or whatever the birthday party for our Tamara's husband was. You know, I mean, whatever. I mean, it's hard. We're going in with preconceived notions that he's controlling and manipulative and, you know, that he's outspoken. But, I mean, based on his actions at that party, it wasn't anything that alarming.
He was telling Kelly to pipe. I mean, Kelly was being a little bit, you know.
Aggressive.
Kelly was acting aggressive and she was very unfiltered. And then she went off on him. And I think, and although people are quick to take Kelly's side, I feel like she seized upon his appearance unfairly and was making fun of him. I mean, she'd be unhappy with anybody who told her to pipe down, but her insults were really focused on his appearance, and that really just made me sad, because like I don't know if people are giving him a chance just on the basis of him being like a short guy,
yeah,
not such a dynamic, you know, presence physically. So
I want to go back to Gina's house. We saw it this week with the two kids. It looks like a nice modern home, but I'm very confused with how it's designed. It looks like a mess to me. There's lots of signage. You know, I don't get that when people have to decorate their house with a bunch of signs. She has like wooden letters that say welcome and very large, which is fine, very large print or text. A bunch of signs. One of them says antiques, and it's on like a modern fireplace with like the fake, I don't like fake leaves and like fake plants. And there was like a bunch of fake plants in it. And then another thing on her fireplace in her kitchen, which was weird, had a big sign that said Times Square, and it almost like screamed at you because it was all in caps. And like, we know that you're from New York. I don't know if I would have a sign that says Times Square in my home. Probably not.
Wow, you really honed in on the details. I only noticed the chaos and the kids because that, like, I'm so used to that. Like, you know, you don't want to come to my house because I'm not even focused on the decor. We have toys. We have Lego in the living room. We have, you know, video games in the sunroom. I mean, we could really make our house look like a nice adult house. But I think that's what resonated with me about Gina's house. It just looks like the kids' stuff is all over the place, and she really has her hands full.
Yeah, I think the signage was just distracting to me. But, you know, I mean, I'm not, like, using that against Gina to decide if I like her or not. But, you know, I watched her on some interviews. She was on Watch What Happens Live this week. She looked great. She clarified a little bit more about her divorce with her husband. I watched her on an Us Weekly sit-down. It was about 25 minutes long. I encourage people to look for it over on YouTube. And, you know, I think from what I got from that interview, I think this is all we're going to get from her. I don't know what more. We'll see the divorce situation play out, but I don't know how much more we're going to get from her. She really seemed to kind of cover everything that's already happened, unless if she just really is cognizant of not spoiling anything. But it seems to me from what I've read too that I think this is kind of it for her. I don't know. Do you know anything?
Yeah, that's upsetting. Well, okay. So what I do know is that Tamara and Shannon did an interview, and they were like, you know, they did an interview with Heather McDonald, and basically they kind of dismissed the new girls, and they were like, they didn't say it in these words, but they were kind of like, oh, they suck. And it just sounds like last year where they said the same thing, that filming was they had set times to film together, but then there was a lot of separate filming. I just have a feeling at the end of the day, they didn't spend that much quality time together. So I'm not sure how well they all mesh as a group. And that can really mess with the storylines for us, because what story are we going to see if Gina is just, you know, going, like, you're right. It sounds like right now we're just going to see, you know, she has a troubled marriage. Her husband's not there. They're probably, you know, she's deciding as she's filming, they're probably going to get a divorce.
Right.
I like the storyline of Vicky telling her, like, look, you should try to make it work. I regret that I didn't. Because that shows, like, an interaction between these castmates. You know, Shannon says she always has a problem with new people. So
yeah.
Shannon didn't really have anything good to say. And did you hear that story about how Shannon walked away from them when she saw them at the Quiet Woman?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, this just happened. So, like, last week, they were hanging out at the Quiet Woman because Troy Turner, he has a podcast, and he invited other podcasters in the area to, like, meet. It's like a ropes course based on the that episode. And then they met at the Quiet Woman. So it's just, like, a few people. And Shannon was invited, but I guess she didn't know all the details about who was coming. And she walked in and saw Emily and Gina and made a big stink and was like, I'm not going to sit with them. I'm not going to be with them. And she was very unfriendly and, like, walked away from everybody.
Well, good for Troy for getting in the middle of the mess. So good for him. Well, so, the last thing I'll say on the whole thing is I'm glad to know that Shannon is feuding with them, because it gives us something to look forward to as to the reason why. And I hope there's a real reason. It's not just like a personal preference of hers. I hope that things come to a head and we have a reason to keep watching, keep following. So I'm, you know, hesitant, but optimistic.
It sounds like Kelly Dodd got along really well with Gina, because Gina said something about how Kelly has been giving her a lot of support during this divorce.
Do it, yeah.
So I think, you know, I like the idea of the two of them getting along, because they remind me of each other, both young and kind of obnoxious and outspoken.
Yeah. Well, my final judgment is I think I'm going to continue to give them both a chance, and I don't have any really negative feelings towards either of them. We'll see. Well, you know, we will see. We're only eight episodes in, so if they can deliver, and so far they're like you mentioned earlier, you mentioned Peggy, like, so far I think we've got a much more interactive group on our hands. So,
oh yeah,
things are going in the right direction.
Absolutely. And people were begging Peggy to speak to them for interviews last year, just to, like, clear the set the record straight on some things. And she wouldn't even talk to the press at this point last year. Yeah. So it's, you know, I feel like we made a huge difference in that regard this year.
Yeah. So in addition to sharesgotthescoop.com, where else can listeners find you?
So you can find me on Twitter right now at Shira Weiss. I freelance for a few different publications. Sometimes I'll write for All About the Real Housewives. But I have a separate day job where no one will find me. And so your best bet is on Twitter, and I'll post all my articles there.
Great. Well, I'll put your information in the description of this episode below. And I thank you for guesting. We'll have you on the show again. And thank you so much. Thanks for filling us in on the latest in OC.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
And we're back talking with Karis Dillon here on The Rants. Where are you calling in from? I know we've met through the podcast ethos.
Yes. I live in Waco, Texas, so home of Chip and Joanna Gaines from Fixer Upper.
Oh, right. Yeah. Do you ever see them around?
I have never seen them, but this town has really grown because of them. So thank you, Chip and Joe.
I bet. Yeah, I bet. I know they really put it on the map for me as far as, you know, just reality TV and watch them on the show. So yeah, that's great. Well, we should clarify where we've met, which is really like through the podcast world, you know, Twitter.
Yes, through Twitter. That's where I meet all of my good podcasting friends.
Yeah, and I'm all about, like, supporting other podcasters. And, you know, we talk about similar things, and we both have a love for TV. So it just makes sense that you're here on The Rants.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm really excited to talk to you about everything.
Let's do it. Let's get into my rant of the day.
Rant of the day.
My rant of the day is going to Instagram and this whole verification process. You know, I submit, no one would ever admit this, but I am. I submitted recently to get verified over there, and I wasn't able to get verified, and this has happened to me before. And it's, I don't want people to think that I'm complaining about this is such a first world problem. I get it. For me, it's they look at follower numbers, and what really irritates me is I've worked very hard to grow the numbers of this podcast, and they're at a great grand total, which I'm very happy with. But they, you know, those numbers are private. So when you're in the space and you're trying to get verified, you have to present so many social numbers. So of course they only look at what's public. Well, those numbers, I don't have more than 1,000 Instagram followers, you know. So to add everything together, it's a pretty good number, and I'd like to think that I contribute to, you know, the digital footprint of America or whatever. So, you know, I'm a little irritated because, you know, they got you coming and going with all these things. You know, you're never quite there. You know, there's such an emphasis on being verified in this business. And again, it's not about the ego. It makes a difference when you have outreach, when you're trying to reach out to different people. You know, it legitimizes you a little bit more as a host. And I've been doing this for a long time. And, you know, I don't appreciate that, Instagram. Just saying that. Just being a little shady right now. What do you make of the whole thing, all the pressure to have a social media following?
Instagram is, they're so crazy because they want you to have 10,000 followers for everything. They want you to have 10,000 followers to have like the ability to get someone to just swipe up and go to your, I don't know if you've noticed that, but like the swipe up feature is not available unless you have 10,000 followers.
Yep. That is all I want. I just want that opportunity to do that because my profile is set up as a business. So it's to promote like the podcast and myself, but the podcast. And, you know, I feel like that's a very good feature to have. Now, I could go out and buy 10,000 followers to get that feature, but is that really necessary? It's just so silly. And there's such, again, I'm not complaining as much as I'm just pointing out, there's so much of an emphasis on having these followers and being verified in this business that you almost can't move forward.
I know that there's people that have all of those followers too, and then they still can't get verified.
Wow.
So yeah. Instagram's crazy.
I don't know. The only thing I can do to drastically get the numbers is to start posting pics of me in my underwear. I mean, that's it. You know, forget having, you know, a good show. I just got to, you know, put on like, you know, briefs. But anyway, this has been my rant/ bitch of the day. It's just, you know, really annoying to me. Anyway, moving right along, the Playboy Club has reopened and it's in New York. Hugh Hefner, the late Hugh Hefner's son Cooper, reopened the club. And they're supposed to be going towards this, quote, millennial luxury theme, I guess. Like, goal is just, that's all I got was a quote of millennial luxury. Is this some type of a program? I can't figure it out. But, you know, the article on page 6 points out that it's quite questionable in this day and age to, you know, with the Me Too movement and all of this, to be able to then reopen the Playboy Club. I don't know. Are people too sensitive?
Yeah, people are sensitive. Let's just be honest with that. People are sensitive about things. But I also think I was reading this article and it said that Robin Thicke performed Blurred Lines. I mean, come on, people. They could have sang something else. But I do. It just was like a weird mix of people too at this thing, I thought.
Totally like weird. Like, I don't know if they sent out invites or if it was like a free for all or an Instagram video, but I don't know. I can't figure out who are some of the people that caught your attention? For me, it was Ramona Singer. I can't imagine her in that environment.
Yeah, Ramona was there with Kelly Bensimone and there was photos of them together, which I thought was nuts. Like, number one, why is Ramona there? I guess she didn't have anything else to do. She looked hot, by the way. So go, Ramona.
She does look good.
But Kelly Bensimone with Ramona is just so weird because they were never friends on the show. I'm like, why are they hanging out together? I don't know. But I thought that was weird. And then Vinny from Jersey Shore was there. That's why was he there? Iced Tea and Coco.
Martha Stewart, who, you know, this Martha Stewart. I think she's trying too hard to appeal to a younger crowd. I just think she's trying way too hard. I mean, what is Martha Stewart doing at the Playboy Club? Come on.
I don't know. Maybe Snoop Dogg was with her. I don't know. Ugh. Apparently they're BFFs now.
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, you know, she needs to sit down. She's another one now. She's like the Lance Bass of the East Coast. She'll go to the opening of anything.
That's a good one. That is true about Lance Bass.
Oh, please. I would be curious. Would you check it out? They said they had like a restaurant in the club called the Rabbit Hole or something. And, you know, it seemed to kind of be a throwback to like what the old Playboy Club used to be. I think it would be something to see. Is that weird to say? I mean, I feel like you got to watch everything you say nowadays, but I feel like it could be a thing.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with the club, the Playboy Club itself. I think that Playboy is a very well-known name, and so it's definitely going to bring people in to the place. It can be done. I think it can be done like more tastefully than what you might think.
Yeah. I think it's an experience. What is it really? It's the girls dressed as bunnies walking around. Like, I mean, come on, like that's tame these days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it definitely is. It's just a weird mix of people. And I found it weird. There's another podcast I listen to called Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald. And she was there, too. And she was hanging out with Carrie Duber from the Dallas Housewives and the other girl from Dallas Housewives that you mentioned.
Stephanie. What was it? Stephanie or Deandra? Because I don't know if
Deandra. Okay. She was there. Yeah.
I can't imagine Stephanie Holman going to the Playboy Club, but maybe. I don't know.
I know Carrie Duber was there because her picture's on this reality.com.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I know she was there, but I didn't see that Stephanie was there. But anyways, I thought it was weird that that's who Heather McDonald was hanging out with. And I'm going to see Heather McDonald in Dallas in a couple weeks with Dallas Housewives. So I guess she's friends with all of them.
Oh,
so.
fun. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as Deandra, you know, she's supposed to be out there and, you know, feeling like she's young again. And I don't mean that in a shady way. I just mean like her storyline on the show is that she's trying to become a little less buttoned up and try and have a little bit more fun and rebel against that whole Dallas society. So, you know, maybe this is her way of discovering her new identity through the reality show and being invited to events like the Playboy Club. I mean, you know, good for her. Enjoy it. Why the hell not?
I like Dallas Housewives. It's definitely really interesting, especially being from Texas and seeing these girls. But I like the group that they've assembled for Dallas. I think that it's like it represents all of the different types of people well, I think. So
that's interesting because in season one, people said that locals were very offended by the show. They didn't think it was a good representation. But, you know, now that was season one. We're on to season three. So you feel like it's kind of, you know, a good rep, I guess.
I think so. And I love the accents. They're perfect. and I love hearing that they're from like smaller towns and they all came to Dallas later because of their, you know, husbands or whatever, or they moved there after college. And I think that's cool too, because a lot of us here that live in bigger cities, which I still live in a small town, but if you move to like Dallas or Austin or Houston or wherever, most of the time, people are from like a tiny town. Like I'm from a really small town. So Waco is big for me. So hearing like Stephanie was from that really small town in Oklahoma, and then Brandy, she's from a small town. So I don't know. I just thought that was cool that they were all from like towns like where I grew up. And then now they're on the Housewives. So
yeah, I love that show. I love Dallas Housewives. So when we come back, we're going to be talking more. We're going to be looking at fall TV. We've got two lists here. One, these are from two different outlets. We'll get into it. One of them is must watch and one is must miss. And we'll give our 2 cents. That and a lot more in a moment. Now this. Reimagine the way you decide to watch TV. If you're looking for under-the-radar movies and TV shows, there are endless options over on RecList.com. If you like discussing shows the way I do with friends and even through podcasts, this is the way to go. Head on over to RecList. It's a social media site for TV and movies. RecList helps you personalize and streamline your viewing experience. There are so many options out there right now on what to watch, I can barely keep track. This is the answer. You can discover new titles and share recommendations, and you can store everything you want all in one place. Like and comment on your friends' recommendations. See what they're they're into. See what titles are trending, and you can keep a rec list with titles that you want to watch. That way you don't forget where you left off or what you're planning to watch next. Head on over to reklist.com, reklist.com/GrantsRants.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Subscribe and spread the word.
There are a lot more rants to come.
Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms. And now, back to the show.
And we're back ranting and talking TV with Karis Dillon, podcast producer. And here we go. Let's look at fall TV. So Entertainment Weekly and The Gazette. I was like, what is this Gazette? It's a publication out of Colorado. Again, we look at all publications and sources here. But I liked their list and they were very opinionated. So I was like, well, this is good for the rants. So here is some must watch new shows coming. According to, this is Entertainment Weekly, you know, this is not the list according to me, so I'm not going to agree with everything on this list. The Good Cop on Netflix, it's coming out the 21st of September. Tony Danza and Josh Groban, a cop comedy. For me, it's a pass. What do you think of this?
Well, Tony Danza is always pretty funny. He was on Broad City last season, and I just thought he was awesome. So I'll probably watch it to check it out. Josh Groban on everything that I've seen him on recently, like he's been on, you know, comedy movies and stuff like that. He's always pretty funny too. So I don't know. It might be good. Definitely hope that there's some good guest stars, because I think you're going to need more than just Tony Danza and Josh Groban to make it a good show. But if there's good writing and people are funny, it looks like it's being produced by someone from The Office and Mindy Project, two of my favorite shows. So maybe it'll be funny. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, stuff coming out of that camp is usually pretty good. Yeah. I don't know. It just, for me, like, I'm not too into it, the idea of like a cop comedy. So, I don't know.
You can't redo Brooklyn Nine-Nine, the funniest cop comedy on television right now.
Exactly.
So I think that was kind of their thing. It's like Brooklyn Nine-Nine is doing well. It got canceled and picked up. Like, people love that show. So maybe we'll try this out, but I don't think it's going to work without Andy Samberg. Sorry.
Yeah. Another show on this list, Manifest, an unexplained event. It leads to an intriguing story. It's on NBC on the 24th of September. It looks like it has a lot of different characters in it, and you know, it looks interesting. It actually looks like a big event series. So this is a good possibility.
This show, I did see the preview to this, and it just reminded me of Lost, which I also never watched, but it seems very similar to Lost, at least the preview did.
People love a mystery. So, yeah, people love a mystery. So
yeah.
I think the show could do really well.
I'm more of a comedy and reality show girl, and I don't watch much drama. So anyways,
yeah. I really am like, I basically am watching reality TV and trying to find comedies to connect with. And if I can find something that's a hybrid of the two of them, like Dallas Housewives, I'm very happy with that.
Yes, exactly.
And the next one over here, the last one that I guess caught my attention was FBI. And it caught my, again, not catching my attention for any good or bad reason, just like someone like, okay, well, what is this about? I will say, I looked at all the previews for all the shows we're talking about. I watched all the trailers just to get a good feel so I could accurately judge. Some of them are too long. Let me say this. These trailers, you know, I don't want to watch a trailer for a TV series that's 4 minutes long where they just repeat the same shots from the pilot. You know, it's not like a movie trailer where you've got two and a half hours of content that you can put in a trailer and you can, you know, really amp it up. This is like they pull from the pilot. You know, they've got a bunch of text and dramatic music, but they just go on too long. So FBI, it's about protecting New York from terrorism. And at first I was like, no, but it is produced by Dick Wolf, who he puts out really, you know, solid shows, well-produced shows. It's this, however, is on CBS. Most of Dick Wolf is on NBC, but this is over on CBS. It comes out the 25th of September, and it did look very well made. I will say the production value was there and all that, but as far as, you know, interest goes, I don't really want to see a terrorist fighting show. I'm good. I need to be entertained.
Yes, exactly. I don't like I don't like these kinds of shows either. And I normally don't watch anything on CBS, especially except for Stephen Colbert, if I have time. So anyways, yeah, it's not something that really interests me. And I'm just looking at the cast list now and I'm like, I don't know any of these people either. So
anything else stick out to you that you're planning to definitely watch in the fall?
Well, I did see this one show that I did watch the preview for. Again, it was a really long preview and I felt like it gave the whole show away.
Yep.
But it's the one that God like texts the guy. God friended me. Anyways, that guy was on this show called The Mayor, which was a comedy show, and it got canceled with Lea Michele from Glee. And he is really funny. And I really enjoyed him in that show, The Mayor. And then I watched this preview, and it's very similar. There was a really old show in the 90s called Early Edition. I don't know if you ever watched that show.
No.
But it had Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights in it, the main coach. Anyways, it was pretty much the same as this God Friend and Me show, because in Early Edition, he would get a paper the day before the things would actually happen. So he would spend the whole day like saving people from, you know, car crashes or if the subway was going to go down and someone was going to die or whatever. That's what he spent the day doing. So this God Friended Me trailer was almost exactly like that, where he gets a text like, cross the street now. And whenever he crosses the street, he sees someone dying and he saves them. So it's kind of the same kind of storyline, like, he's getting information before everyone else and he's able to save, kind of like a real life superhero in a way.
Yeah. I don't know.
But
it seems kind of safe to me. It seems like a very safe show. It doesn't seem very like out of the box, but you know, okay.
Yeah. I mean, the kid that's on there, I do not remember his name, but like I said, he's from The Mayor. He's very witty and funny. So if you like comedy, then I think that he probably will be funny. Like I said, I'm one of those like, actor followers. If I like them in something, I'll watch them in something else. Even if I don't like it, I'll at least check it out. So
that's good. I think a lot of these executives are banking on that. I think that's a good
thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because you know, some of these shows, you're like, what? How is this getting made? But then when you see who's attached to it, it's like, oh, okay, I get it. So yeah, good. That's a good thing.
I mean, I'm excited for so many other shows that are not new that are coming on really soon. But on this list, that was the main one that I was like, this might be a show I would actually enjoy.
Yeah,
so
that's fair enough. What not to watch? This Gazette. I don't know who they are, but they put this little witty list together. And I was like, okay. So they say Magnum P.I. is, quote, the worst reboot of an 80s series yet. And it's going on CBS. I did watch the preview for this. This preview was very long. It had these beautiful cars getting blown up and pushed off hills and mountains and very, very action-packed. But as how can I put this that people would just hear what I'm trying to say? It's as action-packed as a TV show can be. It's not exactly The Fast and the Furious, even though it has the director from that movie, which doesn't mean much in my opinion. But, you know, as far as like big deal, it's all about the story. But I guess if you want to see exotic cars explode and get hit, it's beautifully shot. I mean, it's in Hawaii. I mean, what more do you want as far as setting goes? But I mean, it doesn't appeal to me. No.
No, definitely does not appeal to me at all. So,
yeah.
Not for me.
The next show is called The Neighborhood. It's on CBS as well. Man, this podcast is giving no love to CBS today. in the article, it says it's, quote, loaded with cliches and tired tropes. I watched the preview because I want to see, what are these cliches? Is it just like there's like, you know, a smart-mouthed kid and, you know, like a goofy dad married to like a hot wife? But not so much. It's more along the lines of like black-white comedy. Have you looked into this at all, The Neighborhood?
Yes, I've seen a couple different previews for it because it has Max Greenfield from New Girl. And I love New Girl.
Right.
Yeah, so I did watch a couple of previews and I mean, I'll probably check it out. Like I said, I'm pretty loyal to my people. So I'll probably check it out, but it definitely looks CBS comedy like, you know?
Yeah.
With the like laugh track, and it's
yeah, it's like in a studio.
Cheesy.
It's very yeah. fake looking. It almost looks like the old like Nickelodeon shows where it was like they had like outdoor sets that were very clearly inside of a studio. It looked like yeah. a little low budge, but a lot of the humor really turns me off. It was just about like, you know, a white family that moves into a black neighborhood and the divide between the two that really just didn't seem so funny to me. I don't know. It just seemed kind of odd. So to me, I won't be watching this show. I don't care about multi-cam comedies like that anyway. It looked cheap.
Yeah.
The last show that caught my attention here for all the wrong reasons, and I've been seeing advertisements for it all over LA on buses and all over the place, ABC's A Million Little Things. Now, this is why I put this on here. They say in this article, quote, "There's a million little things you should be doing instead of watching the show." And I was like, okay, I get
you. Oh my gosh.
So I wanted to know what this was, because to me it looked like a This Is Us reboot, like an emotional drama, not a reboot, This Is Us like spinoff slash yes. like ripoff. And I was like, okay, so it's like a bunch of people around the same age that are, you know, dealing with life's traumas and dramas. And so I looked at it. Everybody has bonded over being stuck in an elevator together. I already can't handle it. I mean, really, that's the common bond. So it's like from that one moment, now we have to care about all these people, and apparently one of them commits suicide, and it draws them into different directions. And oh, I really couldn't be bothered with this show. I can tell you right now, I don't think it's going to last.
Yeah, it's definitely, they were like, This Is Us is getting all the credit. We should make our own show. That is definitely what it is, because even the cover of it looks like it's This Is Us. That's hilarious. And This Is Us, I never thought it would be as popular as it is, honestly. So I'm sure that they, you know, that was the main point of making the show. I see that Ron Livingston is in it, and that makes me kind of excited because he is awesome in everything that he's in. But other than that, I do not see anyone that I know about. But yeah, I probably will not watch this. I don't typically watch things on ABC. So yeah,
I don't either. Yeah, no, I'm not the biggest fan right now. I'm not loving what they're putting out, but that'll be it. I want to know what people are excited for or really like can't believe is being made. So if there's something coming out in the fall, let me know over on Twitter at It's Grants Rants, or you can Instagram me as well. I want to know what people are planning to look at and what people are really shocked by, because between the new shows and these reboots that keep popping up, you know, the whole situation with Roseanne and the Conners, I mean, I want to know what type of audience these shows are going to have. So I'll be keeping an eye on it here on The Rants. So get ready for that.
Awesome.
Yeah. So in the meantime, to hear more about TV, you can listen to the podcast that you produce, of course. Let's Talk TV.
Yes, you can. It's on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Great. So tell me a little bit about this podcast and how it came to be. I know you love TV.
Cool. Yeah. So I really love TV. It started out as a podcast about the TV show Nashville, and it was called Let's Talk Nashville. And then Nashville got canceled. And so I was like, well, I like a lot of other shows too. And so I just changed the name to Let's Talk TV. And I did a couple like close up episodes about Nashville. So don't worry if you're a Nashville fan, there's still plenty of stuff to listen to. But then I also have talked about reality TV. And then I had the next episode I'm going to release is one of my friends, his name's Jason Carrion. He was on a show called Married at First Sight, which was on Lifetime. I'm not sure what it's on right now. Anyways, it's a crazy reality show if you've never watched it, but Jason Carrion is so cool and fun. So I can't wait to release that episode. He's also a wrestler, and he was on my husband's podcast too, but he's just a really nice guy and really fun to talk about television with and his experience on Married at First Sight. So I'm excited to release that episode.
Nice. So you love these podcasts. I mean, you've told me that you produce three different shows.
Yes. Well, I just finished up one that I was doing about kind of more of the business side of things. It was called The Good Pod, and I kind of based my questions off of off of characters from The Good Place, which I know that you produced that podcast. So that's why I was like, oh, we would be friends. So anyways, but I'm going to close that one up and just focus on the TV one for right now, because I am pretty busy with some other things going on. And plus with my husband's podcast, his is really taken off, which is really fun. Wrestling fans are crazy. So yeah,
huge audience. Yeah,
it has really taken off and it's done really, really well.
What is the name of his podcast?
It's called Smark to Death.
And how do you spell that?
Smark to Death. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
A smark, if you want to know what a smark is. So in wrestling, they have these people called marks and they think that wrestling is real. So a smark is like a smart mark. They don't think that wrestling is real, but they still love it.
Oh, okay. Sense. Yeah.
Well, so my husband had to explain it to me.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a whole thing. Yeah. But interesting.
So now all of your audience will know what a smark is too.
Thank you. Well, there's a lot to learn on this show.
Yes.
Yeah. As far as, you know, putting together a podcast, you know, and I know it's a ton of work. I mean, you must really love it. You must really love doing it. What got you into podcasts?
Well, I just love podcasts. I listen to a lot. Like I was saying, I've been to quite a few different podcasts, like live shows. And I've always loved like the people on them. Like I said, I'm very loyal to the people that I love and I listen to them. Like if they're on a podcast, they're on a TV show, whatever. So, and then I got into podcasts because of true crime, which I'm sure a lot of people did because of Serial. So that was the biggest podcast ever. And so I just was obsessed with Serial and I was like, podcasting is cool. Anybody can do it. Oh my gosh, I want to figure out how to do it. Because whenever I like something, I really, really like it and I get kind of obsessed with it. So I got microphones and a good computer and just like started recording stuff. And then it just kind of snowballed from there. So
that's how you do it. Yeah. You literally just have to get started. And it's really not that intimidating. I mean, once you do one and you get what you need. I mean, that's the thing, the equipment and everything. You can do it at a big or small scale. I always say you can spend as much as you want. You know what I mean? As little as much as you want.
Yeah. And the main thing I always tell people, if you don't want to spend 10 hours editing, just get a good microphone. Just like my microphones were $100. That's not that much money. Pay $100 and get a good microphone because it will save you so much editing time in the long run. And then you can put out podcasts even faster. So
there you go. That's great. So again, where can we find you and anyone who wants to listen to these podcasts? Again, we talked about TV. There's a lot of TV coming out. So if you want to hear her talk about it, where can we find those shows?
If you'll just go to letstalk.tv, that's the website for the podcast. And it has like all the links to everywhere that the podcast is. So it has the link to Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. And yeah, that's the best place to go. So letstalk.tv.
Great. And your Twitter has a lot of TV news coming up. I'm always seeing different things pop up that's happening, different articles that are written about shows. So where can people find that?
Yeah, it's just at TV with Charis. It's Charis.
Great. Well, thank you for doing the rants. I hope you had as much fun as I did.
Yeah, I really did. It was so nice to finally meet you.
Oh, same here. What do they say? E-meet you or cyber meet you or whatever? Skype meet you?
Yes. Yes, but just to finally like hear like talk to you kind of in person. But yeah, right. It's been really cool. I really love listening to your podcast and I think you have great perspective on a lot of things. And it's just been really fun to chat with you.
Oh, thank you. That means so much to me, really. I mean, I've been getting a lot of nice feedback since the show has returned, and I'm telling you, none of it is lost on me. It's so nice to feel like, you know, like just people are excited about the show. It's like people have the same feelings that I do. It's wonderful. So I'm appreciative to everyone. I ask if you're listening, if you could please leave a review for this show wherever you find this podcast. That would be great. It would only help more people to discover it as well. And my thanks to Charis. We'll be back with more rants.
This has been Grant's Rants. Support the Rants on Patreon at patreon.com/Grant's Rants. Follow Grant on Twitter and Instagram @It's Grant's Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roney. voiceover by Aw Yeah! Original theme music by Alexander Arntzen. The Grant Michael Collection.